WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sir Rocket,
Pipe Bomb,
Mace.
Where, oh, where are my WWE ice cream bars?
Lindsay Ward.
Wait, you want me to do commentary?
I want you to do commentary.
Can I wear your blazer?
You could even wear my blazer.
I'm in.
And of course, you.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've always really wanted to do this.
Give us a call and give us your take on what you thought of Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Crazy, crazy in love. Kinda explains tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw, don't it?
Well, yeah, crazy in love, I suppose, but to be honest, the song that I wanted to play would have been better fitting.
Eh. I didn't get it in time, so fuck off.
Crazy in love describes the opening of the show. I think the fucking hell describes the rest of it.
But the alternative was Chapel of Love.
I had another idea.
All about getting married.
Yeah, well.
Brian realized that they weren't in Vegas, right?
Yeah, we're going to get there. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show. We are live on WildTalkRadio.com, presented right now by iBlack.com. I'm Sir Rocket, joined as always by Mace and Lindsay. We got 2 hours of Raw to cover in a short amount of time, because, well, after the first 20 minutes, it was really,
This will be a short show, people.
This will be a short show. A really short show. So, yeah, we're just warning you now. And again, when we say that, we go longer than normal shows.
I'd just like to say from the get-go, think about this, people. After this show tonight, it's only, what, 2 weeks before they go 3 hours permanently? Think about that one. Just think about it.
Yeah. We opened the show with AJ, where she basically called out CM Punk, and, wanted to confess a few things.
Last Friday on SmackDown, you showed your true feelings for me when you called me mentally unstable and said that I needed professional help. Well, I don't. I am in full control of all of my mental faculties at all times. No one has ever cared about me, let alone show compassion and concern like you did. And when I kissed you, I knew it. I knew what I had to do. Your eyes. You fill me up with passion and desire. In essence, you turn me on.
Interesting confession by AJ.
Bitch be crazy, yo. This is why I don't watch SmackDown. I don't want to be turned on.
Yeah, so AJ confessed some stuff, and then, well, she went on to say a little bit more.
And now I know what I have to do. CM Punk.
Reaction to this part so far.
Punk's facial reactions, or just general reactions to this whole segment, were priceless. Absolutely priceless.
Mace?
I'm agreeing with Lindsay. Punk sells this segment.
Before CM Punk could respond, well, we had an interruption from Daniel Bryan.
You see, AJ, this man sees you as a special referee. I see you as a special person. I mean, we are so connected. We both had the same idea. When I woke up this morning, I had no intention of stopping a proposal. I intended to make one. AJ, will you marry me?
There's not much more you can say.
WWE is endorsing polygamy. We're going to have brother husbands. The drama, it's going to come to TLC. It's going to star Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and AJ.
Jerry.
I can get why she didn't have a ring, but I kind of agree with Punk. Where the hell was his? You cheap bastard.
The inner ring! Simple ones.
Doesn't
they
matter.
All share the same ring. Don't you get the metaphor here?
Yes. I get the metaphor.
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan went back and forth a little bit, and then it's back.
Yay!
For
once, I was actually happy to hear that fucking computer.
The anonymous general manager returned. Michael Cole had trouble to take the sheet off the podium, and they announced that later on in the evening, we will have a tag team match. CM Punk and AJ against Daniel Bryan and Eve, because AJ and Punk make a great couple.
Um,
We then had one more little bit from AJ, and then we'll finish recapping this whole segment.
Okay, this entire thing is really confusing. So, Punk, I know that my proposal caught you by surprise. Daniel, your proposal kind of caught me by surprise, too. And I just think that we all need some time to think. But I'm really happy that we have this match tonight. Because I believe that everything happens for a reason. And I have a feeling that I'm going to walk out of this arena with my future husband.
Punk dropping the mic absolutely sold the segment. 100% sold it.
It was just, I don't know what to say about this segment. Like, I'm sitting there watching it going, God, this is like absolutely brilliant. And it's like, it was one of those stunned silent moments. You just sit there going, is this shit really happening? Are we really doing this?
Yes.
It
yes,
was like,
are.
Oh my God, it is so goddamn corny. It is awesome.
I don't know how you could hate on this segment.
Oh, you know people will.
I'm talking to one that right now who's hating on it.
I can get why you would hate this segment, just because from a corniness standpoint, I could see why some people wouldn't like it. Also, I guess they could feel that it wasn't a good way to open the show, but it was a great way to continue the storyline. It was a great setup for what happened later in the night, and it was a good way to bring in the Raw Anonymous GM. It really was. Now, if Michael Cole could have gotten that stupid sheet off the stand faster, we would have been okay, but I thought the segment was fine. In comparison to the rest of the show, especially in regards to the Raw Anonymous GM, this segment was fucking brilliant. Just saying.
But didn't you know wrestling is serious business? It all has to be serious all 100% of the time. No entertainment whatsoever.
It's all got to be about the sport, not the entertainment.
I'm fine with it being about the sport, but why can't it be both?
Because that's not traditional. That's not worth it. That's not what we grew up with.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't grow up with wrestling. I started watching in 2000, so meh.
I'm not actually having a go at you. I'm doing the stereotypical fan reaction.
Oh, I know. I know you're not. But that's my reaction to the stereotypical fan reaction. I didn't grow up with this shit, people. I'm sorry. I started watching in 2000, so fuck off. That's all I can say. I enjoy an entertainment side to the wrestling. It helps draw me in.
Yeah.
Right.
I hate to say this, and I hate to sort of jump on this so early in the show, but to all the people who sit there and go, oh my God, this has to be serious writing, serious wrestling all the fucking time, because that's how it was when I grew up, go back and watch WCW in the mid-90s, watch WWE in the mid-90s, just as much drama then as there is now. It was actually worse back then than it is now. And just because you love your nostalgia goggles, or for those of you who like to go back even further and go back to WWE in the 80s, which was boring as batshit, guess what? Wrestling today is not as bad as it used to be.
I was going to say, wasn't the WWF in the Federation years more corny than it is now?
It had corny, goofy gimmicks, but the storylines were practically non-existent. So, you know, and then you got to remember, WWF, during the FE transition in the 90s, they had a lot of things like marriage angles, pregnancy angles, deaths and stuff like that, that were absolutely corny as fuck, that were probably worse off than what we saw tonight, and yet people seem to love that shit for some reason. I put it down to nostalgia goggles. They remember what they think the storylines were. I sit here, I have a computer full of WCW pay-per-views ranging from 1995 to 2001. I have a collection of WWF pay-per-views. I have Raws. I have Nitros. I go back and I rewatch these storylines, and I go, what the fuck did I enjoy about that? Today is a lot more enjoyable than back then. People just need to remove those nostalgia goggles. Anyway, let's continue on with the show. That's Mace Rant 1, by the way, people. Let us continue.
Yeah, we'll just move on. Our first matchup featured Sheamus killing Jack Swagger.
Pretty much.
How long is it till the cleanup of the roster?
November, once Linda McMahon either gets elected or not elected.
I think Jack Swagger is probably at the top of that list.
No, I think Drew McIntyre is at the top of that list. Swagger's right behind him.
And they're both behind Alex Riley.
Pretty much, yeah.
So yeah, Swagger got killed by Sheamus. Del Rio then appeared, said he's going to take the World Heavyweight title. He climbed in his car and drove away, and then Swagger got hit with a rope kick again. Pointless?
Pretty much.
For the 5 seconds they dedicated to sell this match for the pay-per-view, yeah. It's obvious they don't care about it.
Gotcha. Then we had Zack Ryder talk about how he's serving as the GM of Zackdown.
I just want to copy that logo.
It'll probably be on.
They did a really good job on converting the SmackDown logo.
They did. He told Santino he has more personality than the computer. Santino is dressed like Sherlock Holmes, so we have Detective Santino. And he's going to find out later on tonight who is the anonymous Raw general manager.
I have to tell you, this actually kind of got me a little bit excited, because it's like, oh yay, we're finally going to get a payoff to it. Because I think that's the one thing we've been bitching about, is the fact that they never announced who that was. So it's like, oh cool, who's it going to be?
Yeah. But if you weren't the anonymous Raw general manager, you're a son of a gun.
Yes. And apparently, the only two words Kali knows in English is yes and no. And phone.
And phone, yeah.
So three words.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a little bit. Our next matchup, Dolph Ziggler and Tensai already in the ring, facing Tyson Kidd and Christian. What can you really say about this one?
Next!
Pretty much, it went like 90 seconds. Dolph Ziggler and Tensai beat Kidd and Christian.
And they all got jobber entrances. Every last one of them.
Yep, pretty
That's
much.
Because it's not SmackDown. If it was SmackDown, they would have got full entrances.
Or they were running long.
Yeah, the opening segment, I think, ran a little long.
Yeah, I think it ran a little bit long. That's why they quickly got them in and out. Then we had the, they basically set up Michael Cole versus Joey Lawler for later on night, thanks to the Raw general manager.
By the way, I want to point out something.
Go ahead.
Okay, Lindsay.
No, I just want to point out what King Kittens said. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do that gimmick, one, don't have the computer on a screensaver when you show it.
Yeah.
And two, don't have the fucking script on the keyboard when you show it. Just saying.
That would, you know, help. So, yeah, they basically put it up for vote. Do you want to see this WrestleMania rematch? Vote yes or no on WWE.com.
Because, you know, that was such a riveting idea that we really wanted to see that.
Better than the GM reveal.
Up next, Brodus Clay versus Drew McIntyre.
Squeak for Drew being on.
Creative points for the way he took the finish.
It was a nice bump.
Tried something different.
I'm sorry. During this one, it was like, oh, look, it's a Brodus Clay match. Oh, what's on YouTube? I'm sorry. Brodus Clay comes on, I lose all focus now. Over the gimmick, over the Funkadactyls or whatever they call themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just scrap the gimmick already. Let's send him back to OVW or FCW or JWO or wherever the fuck they call their fucking territory these days. Send him back there for a few months and bring him back as the proper monster.
I'm just curious, but what happened to his feud with the Big Show? Where did that go? Or his feud with... Go ahead.
Just like any other Brodus Clay thing, it goes to John Cena.
Oh. Then what about the feud with David Otunga?
John Cena.
I mean, you actually set him up in a decent feud twice, and then you just drop it, and now he's back to squashing people. I don't get them. I don't get it. I know John Cena.
Fault. The reason, you know, Otunga couldn't take on Brodus Clay because he was needed for the Cena-Laurinaitis storyline. Brodus Clay can't take on the Big Show because John Cena's taking on the Big Show. Brodus Clay couldn't have the Hall of Pain gimmick because that was given the Mark Henry somehow.
I'm just getting started.
Thank you, Clip, for not, you know, making noise when it not should have. Thank you, YouTube.
Fine, I'll shut up.
No, continue. It was YouTube. It was YouTube making noise. I'm trying to find a clip. So continue.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, Brodus Clay can't do the Hall of Pain because that goes to Mark Henry. I'm sure I can tie that to Cena somehow. Give me a minute.
It has nothing to do with Cena.
It's all John Cena's fault somehow.
It's always John Cena's fault.
I thought it was all the Miz's fault.
Is it always
He's off making a movie and we don't remember who he is now.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't find what I was looking for. Oh, well. We'll just talk about it. We had our next WWE Raw moment. Stephanie McMahon talks about her wedding with Triple H.
This wasn't even the initial wedding storyline where Triple H kidnaps her and drives off to Vegas to get married.
No.
This was like way after the McMahon-Holmes era, probably somewhere in the early 2000s, I'm thinking.
2002, February 2002, two. Right after the Rumble, the build-up to WrestleMania with Jericho.
That's right. That was when Stephanie was hanging around with Jericho and Triple H. Yeah.
Because that's when they got the divorce and they were fighting over the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed that moment. It was fun.
The only thing about that moment is Vince kept staring at Stephanie's boobs the entire time.
He always stares at her boobs.
I know, but it was really obvious in this one. Like, that whole night, I just remember that he kept staring at her boobs in that dress.
He always stared at her boobs because he paid for them.
I thought Hunter paid for him.
I thought Vince did.
Well, you got to think about it. Even if Triple H did pay for him, who's he get his money off? Vince.
Vince.
This is true.
So at the end of the day, Vince paid for him, so why can't he stare?
Because they're his daughters. Incest much?
Well, you do realize he wanted that whole incest storyline at one point.
I know. I'm not even going to go into it.
You good?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. Then this brought out John Cena. Talked about how whoever wins Money in the Bank always cashes it in to become champion, and he promises to, well, take out Big Show, and then he will win Money in the Bank.
Oh my god, spoilers much?
Seriously?
Cena, stop spoiling the storylines! That's all I got from this.
Yeah, they should have flashed spoiler alert on the screen as he's saying this. Because we all know he's going to win.
Pretty much. Well, we hope he doesn't win, though. So we have...
Oh, come on. We are not going to get that. There's no way in hell we're going to get what we proposed last night. No way.
Yeah, I know, but we can...
I asked him to enter. He didn't reply, so I'm guessing he's not.
What?
Ricardo Rodriguez.
Oh, that.
How I wanted him in the bank.
That was the other... No, we want him in the world title one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wrong one.
We wanted Kane to win.
I even tweeted Ricardo last night going, can you... Please enter the Money in the Bank and win and defeat Del Rio. Please.
Pretty please.
And what was the bummer? We got like 5 seconds of Ricardo and he was flying shotgun in Del Rio's car.
Like a boss.
What the fuck?
That's just Ricardo like a pimp. That's okay.
Yeah. He drives me around. He's my bitch.
This led to the return of Jericho taking on Embrace the Hate, John Cena, and Kane.
Yawn.
Kind of felt weird, John Cena and Kane being partners.
They had to put all four men together in the ring at some point before this match to give us a preview of what we're seeing on Sunday.
Which, oh my god, if that was the preview for Sunday, we are so screwed.
Yeah, we are. This was a long match, 2 commercials, in fact.
You can't have Cena in a short match.
Unless it's David Otunga.
Yeah.
Cena at one point went for the cover on Jericho. Big Show pulled him out for the DQ? Someone explain that one to me.
I don't know. I don't know. All I heard was the bell. I looked down for like 2 seconds and they're calling for the bell and I'm like, what the hell did they do? It was just a really awkward finish.
Yeah, I can't help you there either.
I know I only watch it for the entertainment, not the sport, apparently. Yeah, that was a shot. Even I know that's not a DQ.
Yeah. Unless they change the rule book all of a sudden, that's not a DQ. So either something else happened, or the ref was stupid, or Vince got his hands on the finish again, and
like,
they're like, yeah, we're just going to pull out a whole bunch of ladders now.
Like, a partner can come in and break up the pin at all times. So he can't pull him out. It's the same thing. Ladder fun time. They hit each other with ladders. Cena ends up holding up a ladder at the end, and yay.
By the way, Michael Cole, those ladders are not as heavy as you think they are, okay? They weigh about maybe, what, 10, 15 pounds? They're not that heavy. Sorry, I had to get that out.
I know, you've been holding that in for a while.
Sorry, it's just when he said that, it's like I carried one through the Salt Lake Airport. It's not that heavy.
So, we had letter fun time. They awkwardly moved letters. It's going to be a bad ladder match on Sunday.
Show did alright. Cena was awkward with it.
But at one point it looked like Show, why the fuck am I moving this ladder? I don't care. Like, it didn't close for him correctly, so he just dragged it a little bit. It's like, you could just see it on his face. It was like, why am I moving this stupid shit again? I don't.
Bang head on table until brain feel better.
Backstage, Punk was warming up when Eve entered the picture and wished him, you know, good luck. And then Punk replied, good luck to you getting all that spray tan off after the match. We're really taking some shots at Eve lately. Eve said she was talking about AJ. She said AJ is highly emotional and she'll do whatever it takes to make sure Punk doesn't leave with the WWE Championship if she doesn't hear the words I do tonight. And then she mentioned that Punk has held the belt for 7 months and he's been overshadowed by The Rock, John Cena, Triple H, Big Show, and Brock Lesnar. But AJ? Any reaction?
Eh?
Meh.
Santino continued his search, and this time it led to Kali, and, yes, no,
Are you the general manager?
Yes.
Yuri? No. You're the son of a gun.
Phone. By the way, people, let's prepare ourselves for the most awesome 5-star wrestling classic this week on SmackDown. Kali versus The Big Show.
I saw that. I was like, oh my god.
Oh.
Spoilers, bitches.
My stomach just involuntarily cramped.
Up next, SmackDown Money in the Bank qualifier, Sin Cara and Heath Slater.
Yay for Slater not going into Money in the Bank. Boo for Sin Cara going into Money in the Bank.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Then, following the match, Heath Slater complained, and then he called out a former champion to come out and fight him. Cena, Rock, anyone. And then he got... Mr. Bob Backlund.
I cannot describe to you how much eye bleach was required after this segment. Actually, after these next two segments. I cannot unsee what I have seen.
This is, just looking at Backlund, you could in HD, you could see the hair sticking up off his back.
Yeah, HD does not work for this man.
No. I will give him a lot of credit. The crowd did not know who he was at all.
And then that didn't stop them from chanting, you still get it!
Yeah.
But I will
They could bring out anybody. They could bring out the fucking Brooklyn Brawler, and they'll go, you still get it! They might as well be chanting, we wear nostalgia goggles!
That being said, Bob Backlund did everything he could to get them to cheer him.
And it worked.
It worked.
It worked because the people are sheep. Wrestling crowds are sheep. You've been to the Impact Zone. I'm sure they've got the applause sign over the fucking top. I'm sure they do the same at the WWE shows as well, up on the fucking scoreboard. Applause now. Cheer this guy. Boo this one. Oh my god, The Rock!
You won't get that right now.
By the way, Jersey Girl, I like her comment, who is whiter, Backlund or Sheamus? I still think Sheamus wins, but not by much.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
So, Bob Backlund put him in the chicken wing, and that was the end of that.
I love that submission hold.
It's a great submission hold.
It's a very effective submission hold. And it's one of those ones you have to put on very, very specifically.
Mm-hmm.
If you move your arm, like, even an inch in the wrong direction, you can actually choke somebody out with it, like I did during training.
Oopsies.
We were being taught how to do it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can put this on. I put it on, and because the guy was a lot smaller than what I was, I moved my arms a bit further down than what I should have, and accidentally choked the guy out.
Well done. Well played.
Oopsies.
Yeah, oopsies.
They also announced at this point, Mick Foley will be, well, they announced it on the show, but Mick Foley mentioned on Twitter, he's going to be at the Raw show on July 23rd, and so will be the most electrifying man in all of entertainment, The Rock.
You mean, oh my god, it's The Rock, it's the second coming of Jesus Christ, The Rock will save the WWE, oh my god, it's the biggest thing that ever happened to Raw since the fucking first episode.
Feel better?
Fuck The Rock!
I'm still holding out for Taker, just saying.
I'd be fine with Undertaker. I don't give a shit about The Rock. I am sick of every time this piece of shit comes back for a fucking big-ass paycheck, he's treated like he's the second coming of fucking Jesus Christ.
It's in his contract.
I want somebody to burn that contract along with him in a big fiery ball of horrible, horrible Bernie death. And I realize at this rate, if I get my wish for horrible Bernie fiery death, that there's not going to be many people left in this world, but The Rock fucking deserves it. I'm so sick of the hype machine that comes with The Rock. The guy doesn't give a shit. The guy is off making his millions and millions of dollars with his fucking movies. He's not going to be around at WrestleMania time because he's going to be promoting G.I. Joe 2. And yet they treat him like he's the fucking messiah, that he's the only man that will be fucking worth knowing. The guy turned around when he left and said, fuck wrestling, I am done. All of a sudden, money, not a problem, I'll come back. I'll say I'm going for the WWE title, but I'll never actually do it because I'm off doing movies. Sorry, Dwayne, go be a fucking actor and get the fuck off my wrestling show. There are plenty of other guys that are coming back. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley. Guys who fucking love the business. And I will be happy to see them on the 1000th episode of Raw. The one guy I don't give a shit about is the fucking Rock. And the worst thing is, he'll be treated as the biggest fucking star on the fucking night. Who cares? Let him... I hurt my brain.
Aw, poor Mace.
I think something exploded.
Speaking of hurting your brain, I'm Josh Matthews, and Booker T took over commentary as 75% of the world wants to see Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole.
That was a really nice round number. I was actually kind of impressed by that. It's like, really? You couldn't make it more obvious those results are fake? 75% of the world wants to see Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole. Why didn't you just say 100% to nothing?
I was actually expecting when Michael Cole stood up and said, okay, we're going to show you the results, that he was going to show up some fake one that had him saying no. That it was like something like 51% said no, 49% said yes, and then you get the GM chime in with, those aren't the real results, here's the real one, and then you get the 75-25.
Yeah. Oh yeah, by the way, there's the other thing I want to rant on. Yay! Trust me, this show inspires plenty of them. Just way to cheapen the fact that you just have Bob Backlund in your ring. He just got over. You just basically have Cole stand up and say, yeah, fuck this shit in the ring. We're just going to throw up the poll results. Well played, WWE. Completely, totally well played.
And he did a Bob Backlund impersonation, by the way. Just wanted to point that out there. So, Jerry Lawler hits an airplane spin and then goes for the 1, 2, 3. But then, the GM decides no, because Booker T threw him in the ring. They're reversing the decision and Michael Cole wins. This brought out Santino. And he searched everywhere in the building and there was only one place left to check. And that was under the ring. And then
technically, Santino, there's a lot more places. There's under the ring, there's the commentary table, there's out in the crowd, there's out by the concession stand, there's every fucking toilet in the building. You did not do a thorough job! Some fucking detective he is.
Yeah, the GM chimed and said, no, I'm not, and then there's absolutely no one under the ring sending emails. Leave the ring now, that's an order. He went to ringside, then was pulled underneath the ring, Lawler pulled Santino out, and then out with a laptop came... Hornswoggle.
Yeah. This is the single biggest piece of fuckery I think I have ever seen them pull. And that's in 12 years of watching WWE.
Hornswoggle was the anonymous Raw general manager.
And he bit Santino in the ass.
No, he didn't bite Santino in his ass. He tried to shove his face up Santino's asshole. I don't get how you could... I know this was... We have no idea how to end this, so we're just going to end it somehow. That's what this booking was. They had no clue how to fucking end it, but because so many people have said... What happened to the Raw GM? What happened to the Raw GM? This is what you fucking got. Because the creative team are so fucking stupid that they couldn't set something up. A 5-minute throw together. This was monkeys flinging poo at a typewriter bullshit.
Pretty much.
This is the type of booking that makes people hate the fucking business. That makes people hate watching wrestling. I watched an entire fucking chat room of people all of a sudden go apeshit because this was the finish, and people who like to stick their heads up other people's asses, excuse the fucking metaphor, but all of a sudden people are trying to defend this. This made, and I hate to fucking say this, this made TNA booking look like the greatest fucking fictional writing ever made. I don't see how people can hate on TNA now after watching this episode of Raw, and especially this fucking segment.
Yeah,
I just don't know. Again, brain hurty. I need to lie down.
Go lie down, Mace. Go lie down.
This killed the whole show. Just, at least in my opinion, this just killed it. I mean, you just really didn't give a fuck about the main event. You didn't give a fuck about anything they had done that night. I don't even give a fuck about the pay-per-view at this point. I don't even want to see it. This was just... Why? Why bother to do it? If you're not going to do it right, if you're not even going to do it with a care, why do it at all? Other than, oh, well, they're bitching about the fact that we never closed up that storyline, so let's just close it up and we'll have, oh, I don't fucking know, Hornswoggle do it. Because that makes a whole shit ton of sense.
Well, If Hornswoggle can be the bastard son of Vince McMahon, he can also be the anonymous Raw general manager. I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of it.
Don't try to make sense of it. There is no sense of this. Other than Vince McMahon got his fucking hands on this, because you know he did, and this is what he came up with.
I would have
bought Michael Cole being pinned, rolling out of the ring, and all of a sudden you get the message, and it ends up Michael Cole was the general manager. At least then you could get away with the whole, you know, piece of paper on the keyboard and nothing being shown on the screen bit. That would have been some competent writing. This,
I don't know what that is.
This was My Little Pony level. This is stupidity on it. Stupidity and I don't want to watch wrestling anymore.
But you will.
Because you'll make us.
Not till Saturday. And I'll be watching TNA, surprisingly enough. I don't watch SmackDown. I barely get time to watch NXT. I won't be around for the pay-per-view on Sunday. So guess what? I'm going to be watching TNA.
Lucky bastard?
Yep.
Yeah, this led to our main event. Featuring CM Punk and AJ taking on Daniel Bryan and Eve. Eve tried to tag Daniel Bryan back into the matchup. He dropped off the apron, allowing AJ to get the pin on Eve. AJ then hugged Punk, who really didn't return the favor. Instead, Punk gave a big thumbs up to the camera. Bryan took over and just said that he proved that she means more to him than any match. He said he asked AJ to leave with him to go get married. And then Punk grabbed the microphone and said he's not going to lie to AJ to save the WWE title. Punk said Bryan is using her to become the WWE champion. Punk said he doesn't care if this cost him the title or the match. He's not going to marry AJ. AJ went emotional, and then, well, she started, well, doing her crazy thing and then slapped CM Punk. She starts to get emotional again, walks towards Daniel Bryan, and as he says, "Come home, AJ, come home," and then a big slap across the face for Daniel Bryan, and then she did, "Yes. Yes, yes."
Sunday's going to be interesting.
The only interesting thing on Raw, this storyline.
And even then, it was great start. Finish was okay. Yet again, we finished with AJ going, "Yes, yes, yes."
I'm kind of starting to wonder if they know where they're going with this.
I think they do, but they have a lot of TV to get through.
And I don't know if the payoff is going to be on the pay-per-view. I don't know when the payoff for this is going to be. There has to be something. There's something coming. She's either going to end up with Punk, Bryan, or a third party.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a swerve or a payoff or something coming, and I would think it's tied to Money in the Bank at this point, but I don't know. And I like that they have us guessing, but at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, guys, I really like this storyline, I'm really digging it, but do something else with it now. Let's move it forward just a little bit.
And we shall see what happens. I would say grade the show, but I'm scared to ask. So grade the show, Mace.
grade the show. This a D+. This wasn't even hitting average. As Lindsay said before, I have no interest in watching the pay-per-view Sunday now after watching this go-home show, which is a complete opposite reaction that you want for this type of show. The only reason why I didn't completely go, you know what, fuck it, it gets an F, fucking fail, is because the opening segment was the only thing I enjoyed about this entire show. And even that was just because it was cheesy as hell.
Lindsay, grade the show.
I'll give it a C-. It, taking the Hornswoggle and the Bob Backlund bit out of it, it was entertaining. They at least pushed their major storylines going into the pay-per-view. And they did make mention of previous storylines for continuity. But yeah, the Hornswoggle Santino segment and the Backlund segment just killed it for me. Absolutely killed it. And it was, I have no interest in seeing this pay-per-view now. I have to watch it for what we do, but I have no interest in seeing it. I mean, it's just way to completely kill any buzz. All I can say is the 1,000th Raw, which is obviously what this pay-per-view has been sacrificed for, better be the fucking best thing they have ever done. Period. Bar none. If it's not, they're getting an email. And I'm not even kidding. And I don't care if they don't read it.
They're getting an email?
I don't have the money to get in my car and drive to Connecticut.
They have received an email from Lindsay Ward, and I quote, "Fuck you guys."
No, that'd be that. From me.
That'd be from me.
Yeah, that would be from Mace. Mine will be more polite.
Polite.
mine would be something along the lines of "fuck you, you cunt gargling, spit swallowing motherfuckers, go die in a burning fiery ball of fiery doom."
Wait, that is
and
that,
fuck The Rock.
Wait, is that directed towards WWE Creative or ThunderClan? I can't.
At what? This point, it can go to fucking anyone.
So yeah, then go ahead.
You know what? SmackDown doesn't look much better.
No, it didn't.
They don't care.
Fuck you, WWE.
I don't give a fuck about
You're
SmackDown.
Killing my love for the business.
You see. You say this all the time, and they bring you right back.
But they this is getting to the point where I really gonna have to stop watching wrestling altogether. But I know if I stop watching wrestling, then I can't do the shows. And I don't want to be left with just doing bashing the books in kayfabe.
Oh, poor Mace.
It's okay, Mace. Everything will be okay. Have faith in them.
No! I have no faith in the wrestling creative process anymore!
I have more faith in TNA booking than I do WWE booking at this time.
Exactly! They made that fucking Daniels AJ Dixie pregnant bitch thing look like fucking Shakespeare tonight. Yeah, I said it, so fucking what?
You know it's bad when Dave Lagana is on Twitter taking shots. Serious, outright shots. Same thing with the WWE creative-ish, who's also a form of creative member, Twitter. They were on there tonight taking serious shots at this show. Oh my god.
I'd rather sit through Destination X again than have watched Raw tonight. That's how bad this show was to me.
I would rather sit through whatever the clusterfuck of a pay-per-view TNA put on in March than this again.
Yeah. Like, this is the thing. I know that there are going to be other shows out there that are going to try and look at the good and try and make this sound like it was a great fucking show. It wasn't. This is why. This show is a good show to listen to. Because we will call shit, shit. We don't sugarcoat anything.
We tried to find the positives, people.
And
we failed.
No, we did. The opening segment.
We sent Santino Marella and his Sherlock Holmes kit out to find some good in the show. Even he couldn't find it. Because it wasn't under the ring.
With that being said, we have anything else you want to get off your chest before we wrap the show up?
Fuck The Rock!
Check out my Twitter. I put up a new art piece. At Lins Ward, LANSWARD. Retweet it. Get it out there, please.
Download, retweet, share, whatever, link to my amazing Spider-Man movie review. I'm actually fucking positive on that. That one I can speak positive about.
Listen to Kayfabe tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Dustin Rhodes will be on the show. Mike Mondo will be on the show. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show. They have Michael Elgin on the program, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's The Rack. We're going to talk TNA Impact Wrestling. Recap the pay-per-view a little bit. Preview Money in the Bank. And we're going to be rebooking the return of Karma into WWE.
So send us your ideas, please. Yes. We want to see them.
Media at wildtalkradio.com. Adam Pearce has been moved back a week. King Kins. It's been moved back 1 week.
Go to the Facebook page. Click on the links that say the WTR riffs.
Yeah.
Go watch. Have funnies.
Yeah, I'm going to put up another one after the show. I have to upload it to YouTube and Blip and stuff. So check out Facebook and Twitter after the show. We're going to have one up. Midnight-ish, Saturday night, CB Radio. Talk about weird, wacky, and unusual. Then Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio. 11 p.m. Eastern after Money in the Bank. Mace will be there, but they won't see the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I will probably just arrive when we go to air, but that means I won't be able to watch the pay-per-view. Don't blame me, blame the people who are paying me money at the moment.
So yeah, we'll be back next week for another edition of the Raw Post Show for the final time where we cover 2 hours of Raw.
I thought we still have like 2 weeks.
We have one more week, dude.
One more week.
Oh, fuck me.
2 weeks till the
this is gonna be painful.
Yes, it will be.
Let me just get my melon baller right now.
Fuck that, I'm getting the bottle of bourbon.
Visit iBlack.com, and we may have an exciting announcement coming very soon. So, for everybody who's been listening to the show, thank you very much. Thanks to our sponsors and everyone else. We'll see you next week. I'm Rock, that's been Mason, Lindsay. We'll see you next time. Good night.
Kowalski, status report.
Well, the good news is, this song is almost over.
Well, that's music to my ears. I like